The leader of Malaysia's largest opposition party and former Deputy Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim appears to have thrown Australia's Foreign Minister a curveball with his request for help to deal with the corruption in Malaysia's coming general election. Mr. Ibrahim wrote to the Foreign Minister Bob Carr to outline his concerns and to ask for Australia's help in ensuring that the election is free and fair. But Senator Bob Carr told our Chief Political Correspondent Sabra Lane that it's difficult for the Australian government to assist unless it's the Malaysian government that asks for help.
Senator Carr, thanks for talking to The World Today.
Pleasure.
Malaysia's opposition leader has written to you appealing for Australia's help in getting free and fair elections in Malaysia. Will Australia help?
Well, the Malaysian elections are a matter for the Malaysian people. It's very hard for Australia to do anything about how they're run, as hard as it would be for Malaysia or another government to have a say in how Australian elections are run. We're not the election authority for Malaysia. Of course, we support free and fair elections in any country. I spoke to Anwar Ibrahim in a private conversation during my recent visit to Malaysia. I heard him express concerns, and in the letter he underlines them by talking about by making accusations of fraudulent and registration processes. Raising concerns that the elections can reflect the popular will. We can't comment on that. An opposition leader is entitled to say that to us, but we discussed the elections with him. I'm aware of his concerns.
What are you going to do about those concerns?
Well, we're not the election authority for Malaysia.
So you're not going to do anything. You've got Nick Xenophon characterises this as a desperate letter.
I'm not sure what you're saying Australia can do. We don't run elections in other countries. We've received concerns. I say in respect of this, we want free and fair elections in any country, but we're not the election authority for Malaysia. It is important that we follow what happens in Malaysian politics, and our commission there does it. I think their analysis of Malaysian politics is very, very good. Very high quality, but it's useful in that process that we talk to opposition forces as well as people in the government.
Can we offer assistance to Malaysia? Are we interested in sending a parliamentary delegation?
Well, they would need to ask for it. The only way that can happen is for the government of Malaysia to ask for assistance, and then we'd respond.
Okay, so you won't respond until a request is made.
Well, there's no way we
made.
Can. Australia doesn't run elections for other countries. We send observers when other countries ask for them. We can receive submissions from opposition figures in other jurisdictions. We have in this case, and we take what is said seriously. Our position is we want free and fair elections in any country.
How would you characterise the letter that you got?
Well, it's a letter from an opposition figure expressing concern about the elections in his country. But that is the point. It is his country, not our country. And while we can express concern about the freedom and fairness of elections anywhere, we don't run elections in other jurisdictions.
That's fine, but he's obviously asked for your help and you're saying we can't do anything.
Yeah, what help are you proposing we provide?
Well,
you want an amphibious landing on the east coast of Malaysia?
No, I'm asking.
This is in Malaysia. Australia doesn't run those elections.
Some Malaysians believe Australia may be reluctant to say anything, given that we are still hoping that the Malaysia asylum seeker swap can be enacted with the country.
I'm sorry. We've got friendly relations with Malaysia and we haven't a capacity to do anything about the internal affairs of Malaysia any more than we have with any other country.
Well, this criticism has been made this morning. Senator Nick Xenophon said that there are figures in Malaysia who believe that Australia will do nothing because of that deal.
What are you proposing Australia do?
I'm not. I'm simply putting this...
That is the essence of it.
I'm putting this proposition to you.
What are you proposing Australia do? Malaysia is a sovereign country.
I'm putting the proposition to you.
Yeah, no, but I want to know what it is proposed by anyone Australia can do about an election in a sovereign country.
Turning to Nauru, Amnesty International has slammed Nauru, the offshore processing centre. It's been widely reported this morning. They've said that conditions are leading to, quote, a terrible spiral of self-harm and suicide attempts. That's a shocking indictment. What will Australia do?
Yeah, I disagree with that. I think Australia stands out in the world as having a humane commitment that I'm very proud of, that all Australians can be very proud of. We're dealing with people coming to Australia with people smugglers who haven't got claims to be refugees.
Amnesty International?
We've got irregular maritime arrivals. There are people now coming on boats from Sri Lanka who don't pretend to be refugees. No country in the world is going to accept that people smugglers determine its immigration policy. The Australian people would not accept that for a moment. As a result, an expert panel in Australia maintained we must have offshore processing. It's the only way you break the business model of people smugglers.
You have an internationally widely respected organisation, Amnesty International, saying these things about the Australian government.
Yeah, well, I don't think they're valid. And I just underline again that we are not going to have people smugglers determine Australian immigration policy. And yet that happens unless you can have offshore processing. And we're entitled to have it. And the Australian people want it. The people being brought in recent months to Australia from Sri Lanka don't even claim themselves, don't even mount a refugee status claim. They're economic migrants. And we can't allow the places in Australia's immigration intake to be occupied by people brought here on unseaworthy vessels by the people smuggling industry.
That was the aim of this policy of reopening Nauru, but 7,000 people have arrived since that policy was put into place on August 13th.
How many more would have been brought here by people smugglers if that policy had not been in place? You had an expert panel of people outside politics, including people with pronounced refugee sympathies, who recommended this policy, who said you cannot stop people smuggling unless you have offshore processing. And we've got to do it.
The sheer number of arrivals show that this policy is not working.
No, it doesn't. The arrivals would have been markedly higher without our commitment to offshore processing.
So you're saying it would be markedly higher than 7,000 people?
Would have been markedly higher.
The opposition points to this as being a failure and saying that temporary
protection...
But what
has the opposition got? I mean, the opposition is negative about everything. What are they putting forward that's different?
Temporary protection visas is something they're putting forward.
Well, you can explore that with my colleague, the Minister of Immigration. I don't make policy on this.
But you've just suggested, if someone's got a bright idea, put it forward.
You've asked me, but I'm not the spokesperson for the government on temporary protection visas.
Turning to the Middle East, there are hopes for a truth. Do you think they're genuine hopes, or we're just going through the motions again in the Middle East?
Well, it's not a matter of going through the motions. Of course people are going to work for a truce. Why wouldn't they work for a truce? And the fact that it's hard to get a truce is no reason to give up efforts. The efforts, for example, of President Morsi of Egypt, who is asserting Egypt's role in regional leadership. Of course that's to be encouraged. So too are the statements of Ban Ki-moon, urging restraint on both sides and a movement towards the negotiating table. I think the presence in Israel of Secretary of State Clinton offers hope as well. Now, all this has got to be encouraged and supported, and Australia does that, and we can't despair because the going is so tough. It always is in this jurisdiction.
The Arab League says that countries shouldn't be looking at the truce. They should be looking at focusing on ending the Israeli occupation instead.
That's the Israeli occupation of the West Bank, and that's the two-state solution. And there's no stronger supporter in the world of a two-state solution than Australia. I would hope that in the space that might be achieved in a truce, and after the trauma of what both sides have suffered, the Palestinians and the Israelis, that we can rejuvenate the notion of negotiations between Israel and Palestine to achieve a Palestinian state subject to the security guarantees Israel would want.
Minister.
I don't think that's too idealistic, and we've got to hope that out of the depths of despair at what's happening here, there arises a renewed interest in the resolution that we all know is inevitable if we're going to have peace in the Middle East. A flourishing Palestinian state, besides the state of Israel, which has been guaranteed its security.
And that's the Foreign Minister Bob Carr speaking to our Chief Political Correspondent Sabra Lane.